want to take this opportunity to thank God who has given us this opportunity to sit together here before Him and listen to Him. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
I would like to say big amen. Praise God.
Amen.
He is so gracious, so good all the time. And we always say that God is good
all the time.
God is good
all the time.
And all the time,
God
is good. And that is His nature. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for this divine hour. Thank you for bringing us together here to listen to your word. Speak with us, teach us, and guide us. And at the end of everything, when everything is said and done, we may be among those who will welcome you in your second coming. Be with us now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, the worship and the music committee or group that just finished singing here. Thank you for leading us in the worship. And the songs that you sang are in line with this message we shall share. And you know, the song we just finished with, "To God Be the Glory." That's a big statement. To God be the glory. Yes. He has done many great things. But one big thing among the great things he has done is making sure of our salvation. Praise God. Yes. You know, He is mighty in battle. And therefore, when we're talking about our topic today, heirs of salvation, it is true that He is our Savior. And therefore, He makes it possible for us to be called heirs, inheritors of this great salvation that is worked for.
Amen.
So, when we read it in the book of Psalms 24, turn with me, please, to Psalms chapter 24. Verse 7. Someone help me read verse 7. Anybody who's ready?
Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Thank you. The scripture says, lift up your heads, all you gates, be lifted up, doors so that the King of Glory may come in. Verse 8 continues to say, who is this King of Glory? Yeah. Open the gates. Wide open. So that the King of Glory, where does he get the glory from? Who is this King? Of glory. It says, verse 8, read with me, the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. That is a big statement. The question again is, what battle? He is mighty in battle. And therefore, when he comes and approaches the heavenly gates from that resurrection morning, and the angels, and they announce, lift up the gates. These are the heavenly gates. When he's approaching his Father in heaven, that resurrection morning. But the angels are like asking, like, who is this King of Glory? This one sound is saying, open up the gates. Another sound is saying, who is this King of Glory? So we open up the gates. The answer comes like, the Lord. Verse 8, strong and mighty, and is Christ Jesus. This is Christ Jesus talked about here. The Lord, mighty in battle. Again, they say in verse 9, lift up you heads, all you gates, lift them up. You ascend doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Verse 10. Who is this? Who is he? This King of Glory. Then the answer comes now. The Lord Almighty is the King of Glory. It means, you don't crown somebody a king if he has not gone out for war, to battle out there. Even King David, when he went out to battle, and when he fought that big fight with Goliath, what did the people do? They sang. And they say, David has killed tens. And tens, yes, brothers, tens of thousands. And they say that King Saul had killed how many?
A thousand.
You know, this puts David in trouble. Mm-hmm. And the King Saul didn't like him. But the Lord was determined to make David king. That's a very small thing compared to the King of Glory we're talking about. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's not about Goliath this time. It's about the salvation of the entire world. Amen. This king conquers the devil on the cross.
Yes.
And redeems everyone. Because God did a wonderful thing again. And this is the good news. Having created the first Adam and Eve, he put them in the Garden of Eden. They went down. God comes and promises a second Adam. And at that time, during the time now of Mary, you know, in Israel, all the young women were praying and wanted to be the mother of the Messiah. And that's why when the good news was broken to Mary, she bursts in song. You know? She sings a song to the Lord. There's something big happening here. You know, in Philippians, look at the book of Philippians. Turn with me, please, to the book of Philippians. You think this way now. Verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Our attitude, church, should be the same as that which was in Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, he did not care about that glory. He did not grasp to it and say, okay, I'm not doing anything, this is it. But made himself nothing. That's not easy. If I want to chase everybody out of this church, let me tell you that all of you are nothing. You walk out. Right? Nothing is not something good. Is it? Nothing. So the Bible says, Jesus Christ, God, in very nature, God, makes himself nothing. What is that? What does it tell you? You know, we have grown up in a world where we are told to be something. And that matters. So, he takes everything that is called godly and says, Father, I'm going. He makes himself nothing, verse 7, taking the very nature of a servant, maybe a servant, being made in human likeness, just like we are. Verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, just like any of us, the sister or your brother, just as you are, in the sense of a human being, you may be hungry, Jesus sometimes was hungry, food, right? Because he was in very nature now, at this time, a man. Hungry. Sometimes, I may say that with the African accent, and I say, I'm not saying angry. He was not angry. He was hungry. He needed some food. He humbled himself and became obedient to death. Things have changed here again. Yeah. He takes the course to death. My God, who comes from heaven. Why? What kind of battle is this? Heaven, God, Christ, to make sure our salvation. So, that's not the end. It was not a simple death. It was the worst of the death. The Bible says, even death on a cross. That was shameful. He was put on the cross. Accused of other things. But because of that, verse 9, there's good news. Someone read for me those good news. Where was there? Verse 9. We are in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9.
Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name.
Verse 10.
That at the name of Jesus, every name should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth.
Therefore, because of this attitude, you know, verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. This attitude that is in him, that makes him come down, into the grave. You know, he spoke to our first parents every evening and every morning before the fall. These are our forefathers. That's how far I can relate the story of our forefathers. I see Adam. I see Eve, our grandma. You know? Grandpas and grandmas. That's a good, good name. You have a history. You know? I see Abel. He spoke to him. You know, Adam and Eve, he tells them, listen, my sons, you are fallen, but there is a sheep left to be killed, and that will be your clothes. Remove those leaves. They are going to grab. They don't do anything. And in that, he gives me the promise of this King of Glory, the Lord. Praise God. Amen. He talks with Abel. And Abel listens and believes that I will not come before the Lord without a sacrifice of blood. And that was the difference with Cain. Cain sincerely came forward with the labors of his hands, the fruits of the field and everything. And his sacrifice is not accepted. Abel's sacrifice is accepted. Because God spoke to him of this great sacrifice that God's prepared. That the work of saving yourself, Abel, is not your work, it's my work. I see all those other guys who lived at that time. No, he's called the Preacher of Righteousness. God spoke to him. The verse says, in the past, whichever past you think of, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. So God has been in the business of talking with humanity or human beings. What's he telling them? Wise God, are you so much concerned with us human beings? That you have been speaking with our forefathers all the way. God is in this business of speaking with our forefathers, our fathers, our grandparents, our grandfathers has been in the business. And I see all the prophets, he's been speaking with them. And they have delivered messages to all our people in the past. But when we come to verse 2 of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 2, please read it with me. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by the prophets. Is it saying by the prophets? How is he speaking to us now? Look in your Bible. Young people, how is he speaking to us in these last days? What's your Bible saying? Yes. All right. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. I would like someone to read in a different, that verse to in a different version from the one I'm reading here. Anybody? But in this last verse, chapter 1, verse 2 of Hebrews. Someone read. Just read.
At the least last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
Carry on.
Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Thank you. That question says that the Son is the express image. This one says is the exact representation of God, the Son. What is the Father? Which other version says something like that? Why? I want us to hear it in different versions, in different languages, or whatever, of the contemporary English. So, in these last days, God the Father is speaking to us through his Son. And the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. The Son is sustaining all things by his power, powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, this is the point I wanted to arrive at. When he had done everything, you know, having done what he did, the purpose of his coming, God puts, this is the belief, this is the glorious message. God, just as he put all of us in the first Adam and we fell, we believe God put the whole humanity in the second Adam. That's what it's saying in Corinthians. And in the Romans, when you study the gospel there, that when Christ, at the incarnation, there's something going on. It's not a simple business, like, he's born, okay, he's there. He's carrying some people to the cross. He's dying with them. Because a sinner must do what? Must die. A sinner must do what? Die. That's how we meet the justice of God in Jesus Christ. But out of his mercy, you know, we resurrect again with him and go higher. Somewhere else, it is said, we go higher and higher, and we sit with him right now. He's sitting with us on the right hand of God. We are ruling with him. We are ruling the angels, and we are ruling all others. This is the good news. The heirs of salvation. God has done something great for you and me. Let's take this message and go over it, pray over it, accept it by faith, and move forward. You know, the angels are doing a wonderful work job for our salvation. So, who are working for our salvation? We are called the heirs of salvation. Think about it. You are not working to become a heir. I mean, God has prepared something and is giving it to you. And it's also called a gift. People work for wages. Time will flow in and out. Or you're on salary.
Really?
Yeah. But when it comes to this business, it's not you. It's not about you. It's about Him.
Yes, amen.
He's doing everything. And let us take this message honestly and move forward. You know, when you read Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 4, now I want to read the whole of it at once, and then you go down a little bit, it says, in the past, listen now, don't read this, listen to this. In the past, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. Praise God.
Amen.
His name is superior. And should, at the mention of this name, Jesus Christ, the Savior of my life,
amen,
it's all joy. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son"? Did God say to any of the angels, "You are my son"? No. Downwards, it says, verse 5, for to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, did He say, "I will be His father and He will be my son"? Did He say to any of the angels? And again, in verse 6, when God brings His firstborn into the world, when He brings His firstborn into the world, you know, this is Jesus Christ again, His firstborn. He says, let all God's angels worship Him. This is the message God, the Father, gives the order to the angels and everyone. And in verse 7, He says, in speaking of the angels, He says, He makes His angels wings, His servants flames of fire. Oh, the angels are the wings. Spirits of fire, He makes them and tarnish them and sends them out. To do what? Let's continue reading. He makes His angels wings, His servants flames of fire. Verse 8, but about His Son, He says, "You are throne, my God." Who is saying this? God the Father. About His Son, He said this, "You are throne, O God." Oh yes, Jesus Christ is God. God the Father calls Jesus Christ God. And He says here in this verse, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever." That's not something small. You know, in Africa, kings wanted to live there forever. We had our president Moi in Kenya who wanted to rule forever, and people had to fight for democracy. And there was multipartism and all this, and they forced him out of power. Where my brothers come from, Victor and Elder Matthew from Zimbabwe, the president there, he's 94 years, and he's fighting, he wants to be there. You know, old age also comes, and even when he fell down recently on the platforms, on the stage, and they were arresting everybody. Why are you showing me these pictures? The whole world, and the president fell down. I mean, it's, you know, growing old. In the west of Africa, there are kings who want to grab and stay there. But the old age is coming against them. Because they're not meant to last. Church, you understand?
Yeah.
We are not meant to last forever unless something else. Unless we are in the business of what God is doing.
Right.
We cannot last. And what's the secret? If you wanted to rule forever, you are the guys. We are the people. We shall rule, and we are ruling because we have accepted Him who conquered all kings and all empires of the devil.
Amen.
And we shall rule forever. And this is what God the Father is testifying to His Son. He says in this verse 8. But about the Son, He says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and the righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved the righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, this is God saying, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth. God the Father is talking to His Son like this. You know all that? Jesus Christ. You laid the foundations. You know, when at creation, we read Genesis 1 down 2. And the God says, let us make man. And let us create. And we know in John, the Gospel 1 downwards, in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with who? With God. And the Word was?
God.
Yes. He did everything, if you read downwards in that in chapter 1 of John. That nothing was made that was made without Him. He did everything.
Amen.
And so God the Father says like this to His Son. In verse 10. In verse 9 and 10. He also says in 10, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. So our King, who is the King of glory, is the King forever. And whoever he has saved will rule with him forever. We sang a song that to God be the glory. He has done great things. We thank God that He saved me and you and the whole world. So what's left for us? As we think about that question, I want to go up to the end of this chapter where it says in verse 11, verse 12, you will roll them up like a robe. All these things are temporary. To which, in verse 13, to which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Verse 14 concludes. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? That's the question posed there. That's the end of that chapter. Are not angels? In other versions, we say, who read me something else, which says heirs of salvation. And that was our topic. What is that? That says that. Heirs of salvation. Are not angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who are heirs of salvation? We are the heirs of salvation. And therefore, there's a responsibility for each one of us. I will not take long. I'm finishing. And this is the message. God has prepared everything for you. Thank you. Move forward. You have a path. This is not about saving yourself. A path to respond to His doings, to His word, to align yourself in the line of His blessings. Don't stand outside there. You know, God wants us to respond.
Amen.
To His love. Respond. Let's respond. Let's take this message forward. You know, in Daniel chapter 12, there are two people who are arising from the grave. One is to everlasting shame, the other group to everlasting glory. If you read it there, Daniel chapter 12, 1 downwards, verse 4. He says, those who are intelligent, those who, you know, identified with this message shall live forever. And all of us have come. We should be grateful to the Lord that even He has worked miracles to bring us in here. It's not easy to come and sit here even every Sabbath. And it's not about coming. So there's something greater that brings you here every Sabbath. You have the hope of glory. There's something, we know where we are coming from. And we know where we are. And we know where we are going. Because God in us is explaining these things to us. He has given us a message. We are not left without a message. So what's remaining? The closing remarks. Hebrews chapter 12. 1 to 2. You know, the angels are at your side. Isn't that good news? In your battles, whatever battle, that it says that God sends the angels, ministering spirits, to come to support you at that time of need. Isn't God faithful? I think, and I wonder how God is really in this business of saving me and you. Okay, who is on our side? God the Father is on your side and my side. You heirs of salvation. We the heirs of salvation. God is on our side. Jesus Christ is on our side. The Holy Spirit is on our side. And the angels are on our side. And the church of God, as we're seated here, we are on our side, right? Supporting one another. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 to 2. Someone read that one, please.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the glory that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Thank you. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, of people, heirs of salvation, who have fought these battles from the past. You know, in Hebrews 11, it's talking about the people who? Of faith. Chapter 11, by faith, all these people moved forward, although they did not receive the promise in their time, that promise of salvation. They rested in in order to wait for their brothers and sisters, so that all of us together, we shall receive it at that time when it comes. Isn't that good news? It is such a great cloud of witnesses testifying about God's doing and how honest and faithful He has been. And that should teach us a lesson that He is indeed faithful in His promises, and He will carry us forward. Therefore, what's remaining is, in verse 2, fix. Fix. Fix your focus. Let us fix. It says, fix it. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That's, brothers and sisters, that's the only thing remaining. Don't fix it elsewhere. All sorts of things will pass. That's what we have just read right now. Even our professions will pass. Our wealth will pass. Our lives, He has not come, will pass. But we have hope beyond the grave. He is coming.
Amen.
And we shall inherit that great salvation. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.